Good afternoon, everybody. We are each going to make some few remarks, and I'm going to start by asking the question, gender, poverty, and policy space, what have we learned from previous crises? And given that the last time that a lot of extensive discussions took place around crises and social consequences of macroeconomic policies was in the late 90s during the Asian economic crisis, I thought it would be useful to think about what have we learned. Our discussions in the context of previous crises, and in particularly the Asian crisis, but this is not like a paper. I am just going to make a few remarks in terms of what has changed in the consciousness of policymakers and in policy discourses about gender, poverty, and macroeconomic policies and macroeconomic policy frameworks. I think since the late 90s, since 1997, we have several things that have become a kind of a part of the consciousness of the of people who are involved in policy discourses and debates. And one of those is the recognition that poverty is an evil that we must get rid of and fight, and the sort of UN institutional framework, of course, in which this idea has been recognized is the Millennium Development Goals. So by now, everyone agrees that poverty is something that we must fight and eradicate. We have, of course, vast differences over how we do the fight, what is it that constitutes a measure of reduction or eradication of poverty and so on. There are many, many differences, but I think there is a consensus on the international community on the need to eliminate or at least reduce as much as possible poverty. A second thing that is recognized is that, and this is also seen to some extent in the Millennium Development Goals, is that gender inequality, again, is an inequality that we must be fighting to reduce and, of course, ultimately eliminate and eliminate. Again, there are differences over what constitutes gender inequalities, what sorts of inequalities are more important than others, what is cultural, what is economic in terms of understanding of gender inequalities. But everyone agrees that gender inequalities are phenomena that permeate economies, that there's an economic content to gender inequalities, and that policies must be addressing gender inequalities. So in general, there is a consensus on the need to have a more equitable economic systems that do not reproduce poverty from one generation to the next. And because of this recognition and consensus, I think this is why we have some policy space to further debate what it is that needs to be done in order to actually fight against all kinds of inequalities and poverty. However, while the commitments, the ethical commitments to an equitable and just world economic system are repeated often, the macroeconomic frameworks within which these inequalities get reproduced have been less subject to debate and criticism. So we all agree on the perhaps the ethical principles, but we are not in agreement necessarily on the relationship between the ethical principles and the macroeconomic frameworks that enable us to realize in substantive ways the ethical principles that we all seem to subscribe to. And of course, these are the principles that are around rights-based approaches and that have to do with economic, social, political, and cultural rights. So my remarks are very short in that sense. So I'm trying to make the point that we do have some policy space, or at least we have the openings of mental space to discuss the appropriate macroeconomic policy frameworks that will enable us to realize the rights and the ethical foundations of a just world order. But in so far as macroeconomic frameworks are not transformed, then it is going to be difficult to implement policies that will really help us realize in what is called, as we say in the motto, another world is possible. So one big imperative, policy imperative, is the need to further rethink and debate the macroeconomic frameworks which produce the kinds of macroeconomic policies, and to recall and remember that macroeconomic policies are not merely technical matters, but that they rather always contain a social content, by which is meant the idea that macroeconomic policies are always formulated within a framework of relations of distribution, economic relations of distribution, and within power relations, and they in turn have always distributive consequences. So if we manage to sort of start from that point of view, one of the things that we may recognize is that what we are trying to think about at a period of global economic crisis is that we are dealing with the problem of not only responding to economic crises in order to ameliorate the effects on populations which are generally referred to as vulnerable populations. These might be people living under poverty, or women who bear the brunt and the burden of these such crises, but rather the problem is really one of coming up with macroeconomic frameworks that do not produce these kinds of crises in a systematic way. Because if we look at world history, we see that economic crises are a systemic aspect of the world economy. There are things that policies that we can put into place in order to make the impact of the crisis less painful on different groups of people, but the real point is to work toward macroeconomic policies that create a more stable world economy, a more stable world economic system, which puts needs of people at the center of the logic of that economic system. Currently, we have been living, and for many centuries, we have been living in an economic system which is based on the motive of, on the profit motive, and not based on really, and not a system that puts people and people's needs at the center of the system. So this is the sort of the major, a challenge and transformation we in some ways need to go through in terms of the policy thinking. How do we actually design macroeconomic policies and come up with macroeconomic frameworks that really put people at the center of the workings of the economy. And hence my remarks at the beginning, I think everybody seems to agree that economies should be people-centered and not profit-centered. Justice, equality, and dignity of human beings are essential aspects of the workings of an economic system. But the problem is the macroeconomic frameworks that we are using are not consistently leading to that kind of a world. So the challenge we have is really the transformation of the macroeconomic frameworks that we are dealing with. In terms of, again, our understandings of gender inequality and poverty, if we see gender inequality and all kinds of inequalities in the world, not only gender, but other kinds of inequalities, as systemic parts and systematic parts of the economic system that we are living under, then the kinds of policies that we put into place, whether they're in the context of crises or in the context of the normal operation, stable operation of the world economy, they will really have to be based on that profound understanding that gender inequalities and other inequalities are not kind of incidental, accidental parts of the economy, but they are a systemic part of the world economic system. So I'm going to stop there because I know that my colleagues are going to say, make more concrete suggestions, but I wanted us to reflect on the sometimes what appears to be the dissonance between our ethical values and the kinds of macroeconomic frameworks that we have been living with. And for the macroeconomic frameworks to really to be able to change, I believe that there needs to be a democratization of macroeconomic policymaking and economic policymaking at all levels. So I would suggest that for those frameworks to change, they will not change automatically, but rather it is only through processes of democratization and participation of people in the democratic, in macroeconomic policy making. Only through such participation can we have a hope to transform the macroeconomic frameworks. I'm going to stop here and say thank you.